Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. It's America and Teresa. How are you? Hope everybody's doing well. Today, we are going to talk about how do I feel better when the world is burning? I think that's something that's very close to Teresa and I's thinking at the moment. So we wanted to explore that with you guys.
I don't know why I giggled when you told me that title. I feel like the world feels like it's always on fire for me.
You've mentioned that a while ago. So yeah, it's
I laugh because that's my coping skill, to laugh at things that I actually fear.
When you think about, when I say like the world is burning, what comes to mind? You say everything, but what comes to mind right now?
I feel like that image in my mind is the image that I have when I think of my mental health colliding with reality of the world. Like that meme with the guy who's sitting in the firehouse and he's like, I'm fine, but the house is burning. That's my life. And then my like cascading intrusive thoughts go to the world is literally burning. I obsess about global warming because I can't tell if it's like it's reality or if it's my depression and my anxiety or my paranoia making the worst case scenario. Just like, is it the worst case scenario or is it true? Like we are literally burning. And so it's just like, well, I should just go to bed.
You're like so literal. The way that I think about it is like when I say world, I don't mean like earth. I mean world, like community, people around me, immediate kind of world.
Oh, yeah. That's on fire, too. Yeah, My house is on fire. My family's on fire. My head's on fire.
Yeah. And one of the things that sticks in my mind is an inability to be able to do something about it. You know, like how you're saying, like, you're just sitting there like, well, I'm just looking around, ain't nothing I can do. And that's the part that even makes me more anxious, right? Because that's totally what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel paralysis.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you feel that way? Like yes, literally paralyzed?
Yes, I have felt that. I think in the last couple of weeks, there have been different moments where I'm completely at a standstill and I'm like, I don't know what needs to happen next because I don't really think it's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
And then it's like an internal struggle between like my altruistic self being like, no, you can go out and change the world. And then I'm like, yeah, no, you can't. No, you can't.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. It's like, no. So I'm trying to navigate all that in a healthy way. And sometimes it works. And sometimes I just have to kind of sit in it and be like, all right, well, you know, for this period of time, I'm just going to sit in it and try to just be.
Yeah. Like I know when I have bad flare-ups or episodes that it's harder for me to fight those thoughts, the intrusiveness of those thoughts and the way my brain ruminates. But it's really funny because right when coronavirus started, I think that I was getting better. And I remember I used to tell you like, oh, it's because my depression was getting better. I was coming out of an episode. But part of it was also like, did the world actually start burning and it made me feel better?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I feel seen. The world is blowing up. It's weird because I have these thoughts, but instead of feeling sad and overwhelmed by them, I feel comfort and relief. And that's odd, right? Because I don't,
it sounds
feeling
too
bad.
No, but it sounds like you're feeling validated. Everything that you've been feeling and everybody's like, no, Teresa, I don't think you should think about it that way. And it's like, wait a second. You see? Look around. It's happening right now. What I've said is forever going to happen. So it's a validation that is happening for you that you really haven't experienced before.
What you're saying is that the power of validation, the power of feeling heard, is something that makes people feel better, which is true. And I know that's freaking true. But I'm in a fight with my partner right now because he just wants to feel heard about something. And I want to dig my feet and my whole body into sand and refuse to give in to the validation of what he needs. Feeling heard. It's so true, though, because that is part of, like, trauma.
It doesn't matter. Like, it matters. I'm saying in quotes about your whatever X thing it is that you need to feel validated about. It's the fact that if I've communicated that in some way and you're just like, eh, whatever. You know, it's like, no, dude, you're not listening. You're not listening. You're not paying attention to what I'm telling you I need. And the validation is, I hear you. Maybe I don't understand. Maybe I've never experienced that, but I hear you. And I will try to do something with the information that you've handed me now.
And try to understand. Yeah, it's so interesting because you know how sometimes people want empathy or validation and you're just like, okay, I hear that you're upset. Like, we're such dicks about
That's giving just empathy. Therapy talk, yo. I hear you're upset, but I don't agree.
I hear that. You know, what happened in that situation could be hurtful.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
you know,
dude.
Back, I don't even remember because we've been doing this for so long that we talked about how in order for somebody to come and really be helpful, you really have to ask, what do you need? Right? What do you want from me? And one of my responses I remember to you was like, I think you mentioned like, I just want somebody to sit with me on the couch and eat Cheetos or something. I was like, I need to provide a solution. You come to me, I'm going to provide you with a solution. I'm not going to sit there and like hold you. But sometimes I have to be, right? Because that's what's needed. And when you think about the world is burning, there are so many facets to that and everything that people are experiencing right now. And that validation piece is key for you to tell me, oh no, you shouldn't worry about what's going on with the administration. Oh no, you shouldn't worry about the virus. That would never happen to you. Oh no, mental illness, that would never happen. You know, that type of frame.
Yeah. Especially because it feels dismissive of your experience and it feeds so easily into feeling crazy. Like that whole thing where like, maybe my thoughts are just absolutely insane and somehow I shouldn't have them. Right? Like, so if somebody doesn't validate that experience, it's so easy for me, at least for me, to go to that other space where I'm just like, well, yeah, totally. I don't know. I made this all up in my head and I should just get over it and get up out of bed and shower and take care of myself now. Okay.
The rote actions. No, you know, I recorded a video for our campaign that with the hashtag impact of trauma. And one of the things that I said in it after like 75 million tries, because I just couldn't say what I needed to say, was simply the fact that I never understood that I was impacted by racism until I actually experienced racism. And then it made me question what I did to cause that. And I was like, hold up, what you did. Dude, you're so brainwashed into that thinking that it's whatever you did that has caused this, but it's the world around you that is like, no, 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 it's not you. It's everybody else. And when you share that experience with somebody who may identify as a person of color or can relate to you in some way, they're like, no, man, that was totally them and not you. That's, again, the validation piece, right? That you're just like, oh, so they were being racist, you know?
Yeah. Or yes, my hurt is real. Or yes, I was abused. Or yes, I have depression. Or yes, psychosis is real. Freaking bipolar disorder is freaking real. Like, I'm not making this up in my head. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So let's go back to the burning house. Like you said, a trap, paralyzed.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
It's a lack of... maybe these are my words, right? Like a sense of an inability to control anything.
A fire is out of control. Yeah.
Yeah. And whatever you're doing is not really going to make a difference. Like, go get a bucket. A bucket ain't going to cure this, you know?
Nothing you do is going to make a difference. That is what it feels like to sit there. Because all you could do is just pretend
that you're going to be okay, but you know that you're actually being lit on fire.
Yeah, like the fire's coming. You know it's coming. You see it. This is literally what I'm thinking about, right? When all of a sudden you're like, oh, I should call the fire department. For what? What are they going to do? The fire department of then, of course, being maybe somebody that can help you. But you have to recognize and believe that the fire department, in quotes, is going to actually help.
No, at that point, the fire department doesn't even help you, dude. Your house is on fire. It's saving the rest of the community, but you're left with ashes.
This is a very dark podcast, by the way.
Whatever, though, people feel this way, I think. I think that people feel this way.
No, I know people feel this way because I have spoken with others that are like, yeah.
Like everything is out of control. Everything feels like everything bad is happening. All the stuff that therapy tells you to do to not use extreme words, like everything and all. And you're like, but it really is all burning. Yeah.
Let me check this box. Wait. Systems? Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. And everything that you're kind of going through, all of these systems that are supposedly there really aren't there in a helpful way.
Yeah.
That contradiction, I think that for me, that's where my kind of paralysis sits, where you're like, this X thing is supposed to be good and I'm going to try to implement it and embrace it. And then you're like, but the X thing is actually bad. And it's not really doing what it's supposed to do. And you're like, damn, man. Now what am I going to do? And that's where the paralysis is like, forget it. Yeah. That's too much.
So you know what it really ties to, I often think about, is like, you know, they always say people with mental illnesses are, you know, the world wants to call us delusional. But I think, you know, there's a lot of research that says, no, actually, people with mental illnesses are actually realistic. And that happy people are delusional because the facts state that the world actually sucks pretty bad, right? Like, mm-hmm. Do you ever think about that? I feel like I end up obsessing about it because I'm like, is it my depression? Am I sad? Am I paranoid? Or is it true? Is it all true? And everybody else is deluded, and being deluded is actually what makes you happy. I feel like we've talked about this before.
We have talked about it. So let me ask you. You're talking about this kind of delusional reality kind of thinking. And we're going to accept the fact that the world is how we see it.
Sure.
It's not good right now. Okay?
Okay.
You and I have come to terms with it. That's where we're at. Now, what happens and what do you do to help you move forward in that space? Or can you?
So it's funny because you said validation. Like when I was in the really bad moment, like when depression was bad, I felt so much better finding other people who had the same, just like the same extreme kinds of thoughts, right? So it did feel really good to find people who had the same kind of obsessive or obtrusive thoughts. And I'm like, okay, well, why was that? Is it like I felt heard? Is it because I felt like I wasn't such a freak? Also, I'm going to burn and be on fire, but, you know, we're all going to burn and be on fire together. You know, I think there was a part of why, yeah, when the world started to actually burn, then all of a sudden I wasn't alone, but I don't know why it made me feel better.
You're talking about community, dude.
But that's the thing. Like when you have these weird thoughts, you know, there are kinds of thoughts that make you feel more alone, isolated, sad. And doing that mind trick shift where I was like, oh, I can have these negative thoughts, but I'm going to change them just a little bit so that I feel better. And was it about not being alone? Was it about just feeling heard? I mean, I think there is a lot to say about that part of it really helping me feel better. So yeah, I talked to people who were also in the same space I was, and just hearing them say those same things made me feel less bad. And bad includes weird. Like when I say I'm labeling what feels bad, it's bad is feeling sad. Bad is feeling weird. Bad is feeling shame or guilt that I'm in this situation. Those feelings led to paralysis.
You know what I think works for me is, and it's kind of similar to what you're thinking, Sometimes I don't find the words very easily to express whatever X feeling experience that I've had. And some people who maybe are better equipped or have taken more time to really process can say things that are like, oh my God, that's exactly what I feel. For many people, and including myself, like that could be through music, right? Where you're like, X song is the thing that I need to hear because it's saying everything that I felt in this moment. And then you may see something on social media or even have a conversation with somebody and you're like, for me, I feel like, you know, I'm very physical. I'd be like pushing the person, be like, what do you mean, dude? I've totally been thinking about that for the last 7 years, but nobody's ever actually said it in that way. Thank you.
I love those moments. Like you're like, oh, I've been ruminating this for 7 years and now I found my person, like you're my wedge that filled up my circle.
Yes.
Like, those moments are gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think more and more right now, that's what I am aiming to find because I don't have the answers. I don't have the capacity to come up with the answers on my own. And that's where other people are helping guide that process to be like, it's not just you. There are others among us that feel this way. Look, there is this door that you can open and there's tons of information or whatever. That's how I feel.
Yeah, totally. When we go back to the metaphor of the house, I feel like having someone else is interesting because if you take the metaphor and you bring in another person, the other person is either there to be like, your house is on fire. Let's get out. And they can help me get out and then watch the house burn together. Or the person is like, oh, your house is on fire. I'll come be with you while your house burns and we'll burn together. But either scenarios makes me feel better.
Anecdotally, right? We know that loneliness is one of the worst things that people can experience because it exacerbates everything else.
Yeah.
You can't share. The sharing piece, when you're thinking about this metaphor of the house, right? It's totally either you're giving me a hand or you're sitting next to me. I hadn't thought about it. I just thought about the house burning, the world burning. And there are people out there that are so willing to stick their hand in and be like, come on, yo, I can't let you sit there.
Yeah.
And like pull you out. And then there are others that are like, okay, I'm going to sit here with you, man.
Well, you know what? This is why I love technology, because let me tell you, when I have had friends, it's been great. Like sometimes it's in small moments where I talk to a friend.
When I have had friends.
When I've had friends. Well, there were times in my life where I like no friends. I was really nerdy. It was so sad.
And I know you've talked about that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I laughed at that.
But, you know, you can kind of go in and out of friendships. And sometimes I'll have a conversation with a person who is like a distant friend, but they'll say something where I'm just like, oh, wow, that's such a good moment where I'm like, okay, I feel some connection. But there have also been times where I'm like, I can't talk to anybody about what's going on in my head. And I've definitely turned to the internet to just be like, I got to go find places where people feel the same way. I like joined a ton of groups on Facebook to just literally read through people's experiences and not feel like a freak or like go to a forum and write a dump of whatever I was thinking anonymously. And it helped.
The aspects that you're talking about is like the shame aspect, right? Because maybe you do have people in your life that maybe they're... But there is a connection to you actually having to share that feeling with someone and then being judged for it or being like completely guilty for having that feeling, for voicing that feeling. And again, it goes back to, you know, maybe part of the process that we have to think about is people being educated to learn how to help.
Yes, you're so right. Because when my house is on fire, I don't want to reach out to people. I don't necessarily want to reach out to people who are close to me because it's too risky. They all say something and my ego strength is not big or high or well. So if they just drop the bomb, it feels like it will just be like, why don't you just crush my roof right now in my house? It's on fire. Thanks. It's risky. It is. Even the people who love you the most, because they are the ones who have the power to hurt you the most. Yes, you give it to them, but if you're vulnerable, you put yourself at that risk. And I don't know. I don't think that there's like an all or none, you know, because some people want to be all judgmental and be like, well, you can only share personal things with people who really love you and that's how you heal. And I'm like, no, man. Sometimes I can go to a bunch of anonymous strangers and get the validation that I need. I don't need to have.
That's a very privileged kind of mindset, though, for somebody to say that. It's like, what happens if I'm a person that my family, like my biological family and the people that are supposed to love me, they are not good to me.
Yeah.
But I still live with them. I have to live with them because of whatever X factor exists in my life. And for you to be like, well, you should talk to your mom or your dad or whoever. It's like, no, dude, these people aren't good to me. And the fact that I have to tell you that is like, and even another like, you know, traumatizing thing for me to have to validate the fact, no,
yeah,
actually, this random person on the bus that I see every day that asks me how I'm doing, I'm more connected to that person than my mother.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Because so many people break up with their families.
Yeah.
And there is somehow shame about that. Like, no, man, if people are hurtful, you have to put up protective walls.
Totally.
And that is okay. There's not like a bad thing about that. You know, what is that? What is it about that family bond? We have so many phrases that are tied to blood is thicker than water, or just like the requirement of being true to your blood when you're like, but your blood is toxic.
Dude, that's the word. It's toxic thinking. It's thinking that relies on only one worldview. And yeah, that sucks because that's being imposed on people. So like you're thinking about like the world is burning. Everything you're saying to me is like, yes, yes, yes. Because right now we're two women, immigrant women. We're cisgender. We come from a place of privilege. We have so many things that are good. But then you also have to think about like the resiliency. Like we've had to do what we had to do because of our experiences. Now you flip that and you add any other factor. Maybe it is that we are Black. We are Indigenous. We may live in poverty. Anything like that. And the table, like the balance becomes completely uneven. And then you're like, dude, the freaking world is burning and I'm trying to do better, but nothing's happening. Like that is like, that's where my brain goes all the time. And I'm like, okay, take baby steps. We've said that before. Like take baby steps. Take some baby steps.
Baby steps.
Baby. Yeah. To not improve, because it's not improvement. It's like, just to show yourself, forget everybody else, to show yourself that you're still capable.
Yes, because that's part of that meme where you're like, the house is on fire and that guy, the squirrel guy, is he a squirrel or a fox? I don't even know.
I don't know. He's like, what he is.
I'm fine is like, you know what? I'm focusing on the fire, but I'm also focusing on the I'm fine part, right? Like I have lived through my house being on fire. I have lived through the world being on fire. I got this. I could be like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I'm going to pretend and be deluded that I'm fine. And that's good. That's a coping thing. But it's also a coping thing, what you're saying, where you want to get to, where you're like, okay, I see this as a strength. Like, I've been here before. I've played this game. I know how to get the freak out. I can do this. And that's like where, when I'm at my best, I can get there. And it feels really good.
Yeah. When I'm not at my best, that's when I need that person to be like, here's a hand. Come on, I'm going to help you pull you out.
Yeah. That person is best in done in a very angry advocate person. Like when I'm in a bad spot and I need somebody to be like, you got this. It's always the angriest person who can get me out, where they're like, stupid head, don't be stupid. You got this. Because there's something about that level of anger or conviction that person has that pulls me out of whatever is the woe is me space.
Yeah. That's, I think, a better word, conviction. It's not anger. It's like the, you got the guts and the, you got the guts and the glory to be like, come on, man, we gotta go out. We gotta get out of this.
Every time. I don't have any idea where our conversation is going to go and where we land, but it always feels right. All right, people.
We want to make sure that you always know we are fighting in the open with you. So we'll check you next week.
Together.
That's right.